The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This is your moment. Your moment to move forward and make progress. It's time to see where an education can take you. For over 130 years, Strayer University has been at the forefront of change, offering programs that help students like you get ahead and stay ahead so you can keep striving. Visit strayer.edu to learn more. Strayer University is certified to operate in Virginia by CHEV.
For the ones who get it done, the most important part is the one you need now. And the best partner is the one who can deliver. That's why millions of maintenance and repair pros trust Grainger, because we have professional-grade supplies for every industry, even hard-to-find products. And we have same-day pickup and next-day delivery on most orders. But most importantly, we have an unwavering commitment to help keep you up and running. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's going on, everybody? So this is a very special episode of The Big Thing Sith Council. So I already did my spoiler episode this morning. Now, normally we do our spoiler discussion on The Mandalorian. But today, speaking of The Mandalorian, we have The Mandalorian, Brendan Wayne. There are three actors who portray Din Djarin, The Mandalorian. When you see all those crazy stunts, and when you see people, you know, when Din's getting thrown around and doing all the just the crazy action, that's Lateef. When you hear that voice, the recognizable voice, everybody knows it's Pedro Pascal. That swagger, that walk, you know, the essence, that's Brendan Wayne, the grandson of the great John Wayne. We had Brendan Wayne in studio talking about becoming the Mandalorian, everything and more. So we're going to talk about his journey there, some stuff, and what the hell happened to Din in that cave, man? How did he sink? We'll talk to him about that and a lot more on the show today. So that's really what we're going to be talking about. So we hope that you join us. We are almost, no, we just hit 70, but we're almost, we're on that road to 100,000. So we hope that you'll join us. Subscribe today, everybody. Hit that button, show a little class, do that. Join the Patreon, patreon.com/thebigthingshow. So make sure you dig that, do that, all that and more. I know there's a lot of people who are big Sith Council fans, and I'm so happy for that, to get a Sith Council shirt and Spotify. Follow us there. So it's going to be me and Steph and Brendan Wayne on the show today. So let's get into it, everybody. It's Sith Council. I'm ready. You're ready. Let's go.
I can feel your anger. It gives you focus, makes you stronger.
All right. As discussed, ladies and gentlemen, what already this year, it's been great. We've had Katie Sackhoff on. We had Katie O'Brien on. And now, Din Djarin himself. That's right. One of the people who get a chance to bring us every week Din to the screen, the Mandalorian himself, the one and only, Brendan Wayne. Hey, what's up, guys? Brendan? Good to have you. We're excited to have you on, man. I know for a little bit, because we have a mutual friend in Steve Byrne, the man, and he's been for a bit. He's like, yo, you got to have Brendan on. I would love to have Brendan on. And there's so much that we were like, shit, we got to ask you so many questions. And we just did this kind of spoiler episode. So when you, I know, because it's you, it's Lateef, and obviously it's Pedro, yeah, who bring Din alive. Let's talk about the question you probably get the most, and it's, how did all this kind of come about? When you're like, hey man, there's this show, we want you to do this, and kind of how you learned all about becoming Din.
It's actually kind of stupid, because at a certain point, you know, 25 years of bartending, you realize you're a bartender, you're no longer an actor. And so I just didn't give a shit.
Right.
And so I get a call from my agent. He's like, hey, this untitled Star Wars project wants you to try on some clothes. And blah, blah, blah. I'm like, are they going to pay me? They're like, it's untitled. So I'm like, are they paying me? It's the only way I'm going down to put on some clothes for these guys. Like, it was such a weird thing. I'm like, yeah. Some guy fetish in the corner.
Right.
So they're like, yeah. Okay, great. My kid's going to college, like, I think 10 days after I was going to try on these clothes. I go over there, and it's shady part of, like, Glendale. And I'm like, what? This is totally, I'm just going to have to cry a little bit at home in the car. It's fine. Just, it's money.
Right.
So I get there, and I get in this place, and there's T2, and then there's the Avatar.
So it's, like, legit when you walk in.
Holy
Does that change your perspective, though, immediately? Like, you, right, when you
then
start with preparation.
I feel so confident.
Right.
Like, before, I was like, it's just me, naked, and Jello. We're good. Yeah,
right.
Getting set up.
Right. And then it becomes real. It becomes real.
And then I start, like, I was getting the palm sweats. So I was like, what am I doing? Oh, okay. And then we go into this little, in theater, little makeup room with mirrors to look at yourself. So I was like, go in, I see this plastic crate, and I'm like, okay. And they're like, hey, so it's in here, and they pop it open, and I'm like, Boba Fett. And all of them are like, no. And they're like mad about it. I'm like, why are you so mad? Okay, I signed the NDA, we're good. Like, I'm not going to tell anybody.
Right.
I'm Jeremy's grandson. I haven't told so many things. They're like, no. It's not Boba Fett. I'm like, okay. It's not Boba Fett. What should I call it? They're like, we're not calling it anything. I was like, you guys are so hoity-toity.
Aggressive.
Like, all right, great.
Fine, not whatever. Calling it anything.
Putting it on. And I don't think they had any clue that the suit would work for me.
Yeah.
Like, honestly. Like, the guy that they had actually hired 6 months before, they had hired somebody who was a stuntman. But he was 6'5". He was Batman, Rich Citron. He was unreal. Like,
yeah.
He's legit. I just said legit. God, I get mad at my kids about that. Anyway, so I start putting on this thing, and thank God this dude, it was his costume. 6'5". Thank God he's fit, because it fit, except for a little bit of length thing.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, put on this bucket. And I put on the bucket. And
it was like, an actual bucket?
No.
Okay, I was like, you gotta be.
I was letting you in on a little, some of the.
Right, some of the lingo. Oh, okay. Some of the lingo.
Like legit.
Yeah.
Bucket.
Son of a. All right. Yeah, so I put on the helmet, and I was like, oh, this is good. They're like, all right, move around, because they thought it would like slide everywhere. And it didn't fit. It was made for the suit.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, it works for me. They're like, really? I'm like, yeah, 100%. They're like, okay, let's go. Like, you can see him getting excited. Like,
which one is it? Is it the one from season one, like, before he gets the Beskar?
Yeah. Well, okay. I call it the Pinto because
okay.
I had my family had a Pinto station wagon, and it was that shit brown.
Yeah.
But it had a panel that was green, too, and one that was silver because my brother put it in certain places it should have been.
Right. So it was the armor that he, before he does the job.
Before he gets it.
Yeah.
Before he earns his money.
Yeah.
So he goes, you know, whatever. So I go in, and they start taking these pictures. And the guy's, like, getting excited. No, I'm like, there's no producers or directors. I have no idea that there is a next step.
Right.
I'm just thinking they're trying to get a look at it. So we go. They're taking these pictures on this, like, gray-blue screen or whatever. And it looks pretty cool. And he's like, God, you just stand right. I was like, okay. This is where it comes. This is where I got to just bite my tongue and just say, okay.
Yeah, right.
Me.
Right.
But it didn't. Never came. I never was touched inappropriately. And then we, you know, whatever, I leave, you know, and I've got.
Do you think it's over then? You're like, yeah. It was just kind of.
Every time I leave a room, I assume
it's over.
That was the most time I got.
Yeah.
And so I was like, whatever, cool. I go home. I got two little ones. And then I have my kid who's about to go to college. And I don't hear anything. And like with Favreau, and I do know Favreau's involved. But with Favreau, it was like Cowboys and Aliens. I went in and. Read for that, and then 2 months later, I'm you know like doing a horseback
right.
Riding thing.
So did John tell them to call you in?
So I mean I didn't know then, but yes
okay.
And so
that's great.
Yeah, it was weird. So it's like I didn't think, oh yeah, in 2 months John will call me. I'm like, you know, 10 days later, I'm taking my kid to college. And unlike marriage, it's only going to happen once. So I'm like, I'm going. So we're like, yes, going to Boston, which is weird because I'm from LA. Anyways, that's side notes. They call me and they're like, hey, we need you in 11 days to do the screen test. And I tell my agent, I'm like, no. He goes, what? I go, no, I'm not. He goes, it's Star Wars. I'm like, I get it. I know I get it. But my kid comes first. Like,
that's awesome.
I'm, you know, yeah. 40, whatever, five. I'm like, it doesn't matter at that point. I'll never get this back, so I'm going. They're like, you could go a day later. I'm like, no, you could do it earlier. I have no idea what's going through my mind. Like, right. And now I look back. I'm like, who are you, fucking
right.
Prima donna?
Right.
I did it. I was like, no, my agent. I could hear him on the phone. He's like shoving the phone in his mouth. I'm a fucking couch. So he's like, okay, I'll tell him. So about 3 days later, my kids are like, did you really say that? I'm like, I didn't say no. I just said move it early. That's it. We're, you know, getting ready, packing up the next day. Or 2 days later, I'm leaving. And they moved the date. They're like, hey, can you come in?
They did it
before.
Wow.
And then I was like, yeah, great. And then that same
you're lucky.
Attitude. No, but then I like doubled down on like this. I don't even know what it was. I feel like I knew what this character was before I ever walked in that room.
Yeah.
Because I don't know about you, but like I played Cowboys my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
Like when I was a kid, I had the holster and the hat for
it's in your blood.
Yeah. Like, yeah. But I mean, I don't even think it's like, yeah, JW, the whole deal. But like, weren't we all sheriffs and
right. Stuff? Like just when you play, when you're kids, you
yeah.
Right.
Like, and that's what, you know, Luke and Han were. So it was like, they just happened to be in space with cool ships instead of
right.
smelly horses. And so I was like, okay, walk in the door. I'm in this costume that kind of fits. I'm in size 12. I'm a 10 in shoes. So that was weird, but I'm not a complainer.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was John's. He's like, sweet, put the guy in who won't complain.
Yeah.
And so I walk in and I'm feeling the holster and stuff. And they're walking up to me. And prop guy's coming up, Josh, and he's like, so what do you think? I was like, here's the rifle. I'm like, it's not balanced, and I need it to have this thing. I need it to be a foot shorter. Like, who the fuck am I?
Right.
And I mean, I'm literally still walking in to meet everybody, already telling them to adjust the costume. They've spent $20,000 on. I need the holster lower because I can't pull from here because it'll look weird.
Yeah, but that probably was impressive to them.
No, yeah. But in my head, like, I think of any other, so many other auditions, almost 100% of them. I'm like, what do you want?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. Right.
And this was different. I just felt comfortable. Mm. And then I did that. And John walks up and he's like, this is Dave Filoni. I'm like, hey, good to meet you. Anyways, blah, blah, blah. Like, it doesn't dawn on me that I've watched all his, I love to say this.
Yeah. Because
it pisses him off. His cartoons that he draws. And Dave's like, you know, hey, you know, this is what I do. And blah, blah. I'm like, yeah. I know another Pittsburgh guy, and he's a lot funnier than you, so I'm going to move along. And Dave's like, but I wasn't an ass like I'm sounding. I was still respectful.
Like be able to kind of break his balls a little bit.
Yeah, because like, he was coming for mine. I was like,
right.
No, sir. And then we did this, you know, screen test. They had me walking over things in the helmet, and I don't have a problem in the helmet. Like,
yeah.
I knew after I tried it on that I was going to be in a helmet like that that has, like, this vision. So I ordered a Boba Fett helmet off Amazon and walked around the house and drove in it. Bad idea.
I wish I saw you driving on like the 405. Some,
maybe you did.
Yeah.
You might have. Guy? It's LA. You probably did see.
On the way to the
Yeah, 100%.
Bartending that whole season too.
Were you really?
Yeah.
Oh,
but I do that. And then life took over. And I, like, the next day I flew out to Boston, and it was the day I was leaving my kid at college. And I'm not kidding, like, snot rolling down my face. The Uber's coming to pick us up. I'm like, and I had not cried the whole time. It was great. And then we were getting in the car. I knew I was leaving my kid there. And I'm like, all right, Celia. And then this phone starts ringing. And I'm like, I can't answer the phone. And she's like, who is it? I'm like, oh, it's Nick. It's my agent. She's like, answer the phone, Dad. I'm like, yeah. No. I'm not answering like this. Not the character he needs.
Yeah.
She's like, Dad, get your shit together. I'm like, hey, what's up? She's like, oh, did I wake you up? I'm like, yeah, I was just taking a nap. My kid's like,
yeah.
He's He's like, you're in Boston, right? I'm like, yeah. He goes, it's 12. I'm like, I'm old.
Yeah, right.
So he goes, hey, so good news, man. They want you to be David Prowse.
That's cool.
I was like, oh, my God. You're kidding me. He's like, yeah. He's like, you have a daily contract. No big deal, though. You don't know how many days you work, whatever. But, you know, you got a shot at least. So the rest...
And that was it.
I worked every day. It was amazing.
So, yeah, because that, so that, and I mean, that's, first of all, that just the beginning of it is an amazing story, right? So, you know, but you, so you get that and you go on, you get the role and you're on set. The thing is, too, is I was saying it on my old show when I was, people who had the time were giving me crap for it because I said I was more excited for The Mandalorian than I was episode 9. And there were a lot of people who were like, you're crazy. It's a movie as opposed to a TV show. I'm like, yeah, but this is different with streaming and the way they're going to put and the kind of detail that they're putting together on it. When you're on set that first day, do you know instantly, like, oh, wait a minute. This is different stuff here.
I'm getting goosebumps saying.
Yeah, yeah.
I kid you not. Like, we had done rehearsals. I've been working with like Gina Carano and Bryce or Deb Chow.
Yeah.
And we'd go over these storyboards, which was, again, completely foreign to me because – my inclusion in the storytelling part usually is, you know, we got our leads and you're going to get shot in this episode right. or this scene. And all of a sudden it's like, you know, this is what we're looking at. And they're showing me like the blurg and it's running kind of like, it's a two-legged thing and it's running like this. I'm like, oh, it can't run like that. It's going to go like this because it's too late. So the movement's going to be more like a wagon horse. And they're like,
Yeah.
So even that was kind of heady. Walking onto the set, so like Latif and I trying to figure out how he's going to fight, how he's going to move.
Yeah.
These kind of things.
Do you have to coordinate with Latif like right away, like when you first meet him, like, okay, look, I know I'm doing this, you're going to do this, so let's kind of sync up?
The weird thing was, like, first of all, he's an art. What he does is artistry, his craft is stunts. I don't do stunts. Like if I do, Disney owes me a lot of money.
Right.
And they need to pay me now. But I would never get in his way. Like they came to me, Ryan Watson, the stunt coordinator and Latif. And we're like, we got to figure this out. And John knows that you're super Western. And I'm like, yeah, I'm from Encino. I'm super Western. You know, let's figure it out because Latif's capoeira. Like, he does this Brazilian dance fight.
Yeah.
Sorry, Latif. And every step he takes is an explosion of something. And mine's, like, almost drunk. Like, so it's very, like...
but it's a swagger, dude.
It is.
It's a swagger.
So I don't have that swagger, like, naturally because I should wear a helmet. I should have worn a helmet my whole life. Like, I physically have moments where I'm like... But John was like, in the screen test, was like, slow down everything. Because you look like Woody from Toy Story if you're fast. And I was like, and he showed me. I was like, oh, my God. He's like, you're in this helmet. And you're like. So he slowed me down. And then all of a sudden, I figured out what my grandfather went through. Because the dude I knew, he used to saran wrap his toilets, my grandfather. Really tight so you couldn't tell.
Yeah.
And then wait for one of us to go in and number one or number two on ourselves. And he would be like, ah. So this other dude that I saw in movies, that everyone's like, oh, he played himself. I'm like, no.
I didn't realize he was a big prankster.
That's funny.
I mean, that's because we used to only spend time on the boat with him.
Yeah.
Because anywhere else, it'd be mobbed. Yeah. But I didn't know that. Like, it was amazing that way, the separation of church and state.
But you took that stuff that it kind of what he did. But I
didn't even know. But then I started studying because John was like, I want you to study Yul Brynner in Westworld and Schwarzenegger in Terminator because those are some incredible performances of somebody who's not necessarily soulfully connected to themselves. So that was my job.
Fascinating.
Latif's job was to get pulled and fly and smash things. So when they came to me with that, I was, you know, I'm kind of used to being, I'm 100% used to being comfortable with stuntmen because they're the most real dudes on set.
Like, yeah.
They don't need to be pet. They know that they're going to go out and just destroy whatever it is and it's going to be fun. And if it doesn't get to this level, they're going to be pissed. Like, they're competitive like me. So it was great. Like, I hang out with them all the time. And they, you know, like, I'm number one on the call sheet, they could give two shits.
Right.
They, I mean, they, like, we would sit in my room and just tear it up, and it was great. But they came to me, and that kind of respect gave me a responsibility. And watching them slow me down physically, all of a sudden I understood how my grandfather got to where he was. Because once you slow down, there is, you got to be really balanced when they slow you down. And so there is kind of this rocking motion that comes, and part of it's just genes or whatever. So yeah, but it is the idea of the rules, like the creed in Mando is the same as the, you know, the creed of a gunslinger. Like, you don't touch your gun unless you're pulling it to kill him.
Right.
That's it. You don't threaten. There's no threat. The threat is here. Are we going or not? Okay. And that's kind of how it goes. And so there are these rules that you have. And it worked really well for me because I was raised that way. And so the creed kind of spoke to me and that whole thing. And you walk out onto this. First set we walked on was on the back lot in Manhattan. And it's where I meet IG-11.
Yeah.
And we're going to go find the kid.
Yeah.
And this dude's doing practicing his fall from when I shoot him. And we're going through and they're showing me all these beats of the fight. This guy's going to jump on your back. Does that work? What do you think about this? And I'm like, oh, yeah, they're talking to me. It's so weird.
Right.
To all of a sudden have, I don't know, like, I don't know.
You're the star of the show.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
But, I mean, even then, like, I thought it was more so that, you know, we don't have to talk to you. We'll just tell you what to do. And I'm so used to this. So then going, no, I don't think he would do a leg sweep. I think he might do a hard knee and kick a guy and then punch him. Oh, he doesn't kick guys when he's down, though. That's not Western. And so finding this all out, but being in an adult-sized set that you dreamed of when you were a kid, running around with Boba and, you know, Admiral Akbar, because I have five older brothers, so I didn't get to choose who I had. I just got the last two. I'm like, oh, okay. The guy who caused me pain for 4 years while I was waiting for the Return of the Jedi to figure out what happened to Han.
Right.
And then I learned to love him because of his anonymity. And then that kind of spoke to how I loved Mando.
Well, so, I mean, yeah. And then just hearing that in general, and I guess it's a question for everybody involved in that show because of the way you look at what Jon Favreau has done, especially with the technology with, like, The Lion King. And then taking that over, coordinating that into the volume and all that. So when you walk in, because that guy had to be completely foreign yet, like, mesmerizing.
You recognize what Favreau did with that.
Yeah.
Like, with the volume.
Yeah.
He knew a gaming company was in dire straits, went in and bought half of it, or more than half, and said, hey, I want you to take your gaming technology, how the games move, and then attach it to a camera so that we can use it as this screen.
Yeah.
My Uncle Patrick in 1972 did Sinbad. And
that's right,
I called him and was like, you got to see this technology. And he was so bitter. He was like, hey, the guy with a stick and a tennis ball. You don't have to imagine anything. I'm like, oh, it's about relationships now. Yeah. I don't have to worry about this.
That's a Manscaped is back, baby. We love Manscaped. And they are the best. Manscaped is now selling beard products. That's right. You know that. I've told you about it. That beard hedger, man, I love it. It's amazing. Brett stole mine, but I got my own. It's great. You're going to shape your beard. Manscaped, you can do it. You got to go on over to manscaped.com. Use that code BIGTHING. Get 20% off for free shipping. Tame your mane. You don't want that weird beard. It's amazing. I love it. It's got a titanium-coated T-blade. It's awesome. There's beard shampoo and conditioner. It's like Christmas. So awesome. It's got beard oil, beard balm. It's got, like, they knew exactly what to do by creating this thing. It's like Skynet created this thing. It's so good. It's how they have come up with this technology to make it so wonderful on that beard. I don't know. And Miles Dyson working over there. The Pro Beard Kit also comes with free gifts. Three of them. Beard brush, a comb, and scissors. So people who want to get their beard looking nice, that's how you do it. 20% off, free shipping. Use that code BIGTHING at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. But use that code BIGTHING. Manscaped Beard Hedger. It's one stroke, one guard, 20 lengths. continuing that relationship? Because like when you look, because now, because, and correct me if I'm wrong here, because like when I remember when it started out, when the show started, and people were like, well, Pedro Pascal is going to be the Mandalorian. And it came out and everyone's, and I remember going, and it was like a secret at first, it almost seemed like. And it was like, no, it's not Pedro behind the, because I remember people had said, we have a lot of mutual friends. And I think there were some people who were saying, no, that I know who's behind there. And the other people, like, no, that there's two other people that are there. Like, wait, and Pedro's not there at all. And I was like, I said, who cares? I said, the whole point of it is that it's like, are all three of these guys bringing you a character, then you look and you go, I don't see three people. I see one character.
Yes.
And that's what I always felt. But the reason I asked that is because now you guys are both being credited for on the show now in season three. But it wasn't that right away. Was that so?
No, I think they wanted to establish Pedro and you know, run him out there. I mean, the guy's fucking ridiculously talented.
He's a baller.
The idea that he hasn't ever worn the suit or anything is stupid.
Yeah.
I mean, I get hit up on social media. It's hilarious because, you know, they're so soft. you hate Pedro. I'm like, I'm the only one. Literally, some blogger or something came out and was like, he was kicked off the set and all this stuff. And, you know, there was a big, don't go out and say anything, you know, email that came out. And I immediately came out and was like, he's great. He's perfectly fine. Leave him alone.
Yeah.
He's incredibly talented, blah, blah, blah. And then people get mad at me now. Because they're like, you never talk about him in your interviews. I'm like, I'm not being, if I need to speak for him, he's not doing his job.
Right.
I mean, like, you're his press.
Like, he's got enough with all his, you know, things he's going on. I think he's okay.
He's doing all right for himself. Yeah.
You text him right now and he'll laugh at that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He said, he told me, don't fall for the trolls on the internet. So it was great. And I never was going to, I mean, like,
yeah,
they're just what they are. But it's very interesting because I do respect what he does. And like, the thing is, why do we have three and why is it seamless for you? Because John, Dave, the storytellers, the editors, the directors, you know, we have a different director because it is,
yeah,
you know, serialized, yeah, which is incredible to me because we are dealing with a show that has, you know, I'm like Kung Fu, I'm in every episode, you know, like, and it's his journey. So how does that work? I don't know, other than to say I do what I do to the best of my ability,
yeah,
and then they can do whatever they want with it. And I know when Latif is working, you know, we work off each other quite a bit. And the reason why, like, I'm always talking about Latif is because he's clearly more available to me.
Yeah, right.
I mean, like, if
you guys are on set a lot more together, right?
And if you know anything about, you know, Hollywood, if you know anything about that, like, my day's a lot more simple because of the anonymity I'm allowed to live with.
Right.
You know, I can coach Grant High School girls soccer.
Right.
Pedro can't.
Right.
So, you know,
yeah,
I'll take the advantages that I have.
100%. And that's why I asked that more. So I think what I was more happy about this season was that's gone now, that thing. Like, is there? People just know it.
Yeah.
And what I also applaud Lucasfilm and everybody for doing is that now when you go to the panels, like I've been to Celebration, you guys are like the first ones out and you're there, like, and they celebrate you guys just as much as representing the character. And I think that was the right move. And I'm glad that they did it because and giving the credit, because what you did, even in the season, man, like in the opening episode, leaning against that tree, like, dude, that we talked about, like, that's like the din that we've been, like, you know,
wanting back.
Yeah.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that whole, the trust of that kind of moment came from the walk down the planks in the ice planet to go get Horatio when he's playing the Mithril.
Right, right, right.
And John's got this camera and it's sitting down here at my feet. I might be the 12th hour one day. And he's like, this is going to be legendary. I'm like, okay, fella, get a napkin, wipe yourself off. And this is not going to be great. And he's like, no, it is. And I mean, I'm such an idiot. Clearly don't listen to me. So he goes, just walk. I'm like, oh, yeah, okay, great. Now I'm going to think about walking. So he's like, slow down. I'm walking down the planks. I'm in the volume. It's just wood planks in the middle of a circular room with, you know, television screens everywhere. And I'm walking down. This camera rises, and all of a sudden, you know, I'm walking away, and you get this shot of Din, and it's like the shot of Din. And it's unreal to me. Like, he goes, come here. Look at this. I'm like, wow. Oh, my God. He goes, wait till you get to the doorway. And then they have this actual mechanical door
that
does this thing. And everybody, you know, that's something else that John, Dave, Lucas, I don't think it's that hard to find them, but they surround that show with people who are fans. And, like,
I disagree with you. I think it is harder than you think. I think because there is certain, because everybody says, I'm a fan of Star Wars. It's what inspired me. It's what I did this, you know, but it's people like Dave and John. And like, obviously from just listening to you hear about the way you talked about like Han and Luke and growing up on it, it's the philosophy of it. And what I think, and you can speak on this more than I, but what I, the reason why I think those two guys work together, John and Dave, is because John doesn't make any, he clearly was raised on the original trilogy and is fascinated by the world and wants to build on it and all that stuff. But it's Dave who's like the computer of all the stuff inside of it. Right.
Oh my God.
Right.
Anytime we have a problem on set, a question, hey, you know, can you do that? If Dave's not there, they're FaceTiming him.
Yeah.
Hey, so what if we're doing this? And like Dave's like, no, according to this, I'm like, how do you know?
As far as lore and mythology, yeah.
I'm like, dude, I can't remember my kid's name, and I'm looking at her. And you're like, yeah, no, that was, you know, in 1984 we decided this was canon. I'm like, unbelievable. Like, it's right. Crazy the level of his knowledge, like, right off. Like
yeah.
You don't have to look at anything.
And that's got to help you, too, I'm sure, like, tremendously. With how much did you know about, like, the lore of Mandalore and all that stuff, too? Because even hearing you talk, right, like, it's like you are, I mean, obviously not taking away from anything the other two guys do, but you, it seems like in the majority of the stuff that we see, and again, correct me if I'm wrong, but the majority of the stuff that we see with Din, minus the stuff, like you said, like when Din's getting thrown out of caves and stuff, that's Latif, obviously. But the majority, like, the swagger, the moments, the conversations with the armor, majority of the time that is you.
If the editor says so, it is. I will say this. I don't refer, like, if people talk to me about, you know, the character, Din does just, not compute for me.
I see.
Mando does.
Yeah, yeah.
Because for me, you know, Carl Weathers, he was one of the first guest stars I worked with.
Mm. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, awesome. I got it. We'll get into a whole Carl Weathers thing. Yeah.
I had a whole moment with him. Yeah. So, but the way he says Mando... Mando!
Yeah.
So, I mean, just saying, it's unreal. And so I'll always be Mando in my head.
I get it.
And then, obviously, anytime the helmet comes off, Pedro's there. Season two, Pedro did more because he wasn't, you know, on Broadway.
Yeah.
It's that kind of stuff. Like, I don't want to be called a stuntman, not because that's below me. It's because it's above me. Like, I can't. Right. I'm not that good. So I wouldn't want to denigrate what they do. I'm a trained actor. If I'm good enough, I'm good enough. If I'm not, I'm not. I don't care. That's up to you, the audience, fans. If you like it, then I feel, okay, good. Not the critics, not the casting directors necessarily, because they've got so many other factors to deal with. I want to know what you guys think. So if you're watching this and you're getting the feelings, and, you know, I'm standing at the bar, and up comes, you know, Tate, the Transdotion, and his buddies, and... this movement to look here and here affects you in a way like Eastwood affected you with that movement, or my grandfather standing in a doorway affected you, then I've done my job, and that's enough for me. Like, I don't want to be called a stuntman because it puts my career back, and then I go into rooms now, and I'm like, I'm too old to tell you I'm not a stuntman. Like, you guys got to know. I've read for you before as an actor. Now right. That was the only thing that, where I was like, the credit bothered me. But I mean, whatever. I'm still working and
good. And it's kind of, and I'm sure since that initial thing of what you said was day to day, it's not anymore.
It took quite a while.
Did it take you quite a while?
Last season, I was the first time.
Okay.
Do you know what their intentions were with the three of you? Like, was it always to they didn't know?
No, I think they wanted to figure out what was going to work best. And I think, you know, again, genius. Like, I don't know what John, you know, like what he has in his back room or whatever, like his crystal ball that he messes with, or the fountain of youth that he's drinking from, whatever it is, his time machine. But his ability to leave himself the options to succeed is unbelievable.
Yeah.
Like, how do you know? Like, oh, this guy's really good at this, so let's do it. Like, I hadn't seen him in 10 years. I thought I was never going to work with him again because Cowboys and Aliens didn't do so well. I was positive I was going to be a star after that movie. And by the time we got to the premiere, and they're like, yeah, so we cut your part down a lot. I'm like, he goes, thanks for promoting the hell out of this movie, though. And I'm like, oh, this is going to,
right.
Oh, family's there. And we're like, oh, there I am. There I am. Oh, I had a monologue there. It's gone. You know, like, so I was like, I'm never working with him again. And so I didn't think much of it. And so now then you get to be around him daily, and I'm sure he probably just wants to scratch his eyes out. But I'm incredibly impressed. And the great thing about John is he is a teacher.
Like, yeah.
If you ask him a question, he is going to tell you what he's looking at and where it's come from. And I've seen him do it on Cowboys and Aliens with me, who was, I don't know, down the call sheet, way down the call sheet. And his kindness that way and his creativity and his desire to inform through story and mythology is the same thing Lucas did for me when I was a kid, which is amazing.
Well, you also have a good...
Ever watched Star Wars?
Yes. What?
I haven't seen a lot of women who are, like, into it. Now that I'm
I just do a Star Wars show just to mess with people.
Maybe you're just really good at conversation.
Yeah, this is all a lie. That's the I'm so mad that you just totally blew my cover.
She's probably one of the most knowledgeable Star Wars people that I have on
the show. Okay, so the reason why I asked that is because that answer right there. Because it shocks me sometimes. The people who know what they know, how they know it. Like, I'm like,
yeah.
I just did, because I know New Hope.
Right.
I know those extremely well.
Oh, she'll tell you, she probably knows more about the Mandalorian culture than the two of us put together.
Oh, so you're Clone Wars, the whole deal.
Yes, I watched everything.
Clone Wars, Rebels.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everything. Yes. Star Wars, gang.
Oh, that sounds like something you should take a pill for.
But, you know, and it's also because even listening to talk like the sense of humor, because Favreau's pretty known for his sense of humor and everything, too. So that's probably, and that's why, like you said, when you first meet Filoni. And
hilarious.
Yeah. And like, so when you have, like, you were able to kind of, the three of you guys kind of breaking each other's chops. But there's two things I was going to ask Boba Fett stuff, but I want to stay with the Carl Weathers thing. So tell me about working with him.
So we're sitting down. I'm getting the bounty puck. That's the first one, like, we're filming together. And I'm in the helmet because I want him to get used to this vision to work with. And I know he can hear me. I can speak loud enough. I was theater trained. But I'm staring at Carl Weathers. You know what I mean? I'm like, you can only pay me. Like, I'm like just staring at him. Like I'm looking at Cindy Crawford. Yeah, I'm old.
Right,
Cindy Crawford. You know, like, I'm like, thirsty. I'm like, oh, Carl Weathers. Oh my God.
Right.
And he's like, we're an hour in and we keep having to reshoot this moment. And he goes, I need you to speak up, man. And I was like, huh? And then, cause I don't get starstruck because of the life I lived. Like, I sat on a guy named Uncle Ronnie's lap and ate jelly beans.
Mm-hmm.
He turns out to be a president. That's who he was. But that's not who I knew. Two different things. And so, I don't get starstruck like that, but he had me from the moment I was just, and I couldn't talk. I was just quiet. It was really weird and creepy probably for him. And then I go, I am so sorry, but I am a huge fan of this and blah, 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 blah. And I just blurted everything. I go, you were the first time I cried in front of my friends, and then we all lied to each other and acted like we weren't crying. I had eye sweat, whatever it was, like when he died in Rocky.
Yeah.
And he was like, thank God you got that out, man. Hey, all right, now let's do this. And then he became
your buddy,
my mentor, and now just like he's incredible. He and one of my daughters share a birthday, but like, you know, you meet your idols, and 90% of the time, they're never going to live up to what... It's like Boba Fett. You meet Boba Fett, he's never going to live up to what I've built up since I was, you know, a kid. Like, there's no way. Like, John was a genius that way. He did not do that. He did not introduce Boba Fett. He introduced The Mandalorian And then Boba Fett came in later, and it was bitching how Rodriguez and them dropped him in, whatever. But the idea being, I now have a friend who, if I'm going in for a role or I'm worried about something, I used to sit with Carl all day and talk to him about how do you approach this scene. Dude, blah, blah, blah. And the funny thing is, like, the things that I loved, Action Jackson.
Yeah, yeah.
Those things. And he's like, you know, I'm theater trained. Blah, blah. I'm like, no, I'm saying it meant something to me. So it doesn't matter if you think it was the greatest art or whatever. Like, these people, I need to know your process. How do I get through these scenes? What is my job? And, you know, I do feel a responsibility to you, because I'm a fan too.
Yeah.
And so if I suck, and then people make fun of me, and I become, you know, Jar Jar Binks in a helmet. Like, which is, the criticism was undue, but whatever.
Just how the fans took him.
Yeah, yeah. And just mauled him. Thank God they didn't have social media really then.
Yeah, that's right.
Right.
Yeah. Might have been, anyway. So I just understand that I want to do, beyond just being a professional, this means something to me. Lucas's mythology, Joseph Campbell, who I studied to become an actor, all the iconic mythological characters that I work from, they all mean something to me. So then I get to implement those ideas through things that Carl's given me every day on set, or like Ming-Na Wen, but Carl.
That's amazing. What a great story that is. You know, we were just talking about before, because then now I was like, as you were talking, I go, you know, you're going to know the answer to this, because everybody's talking about right now. Okay, let's go into the episode 2 of this season.
Yeah.
Din's in the cave. He's going to bathe. He's going to wash himself. He hasn't bathed in God knows how long, 4 or 5 years.
Right. He's that guy under the freeway.
Yeah. So he goes, and he sinks. It's the Beskar that sinks him, right?
Yeah.
Okay, because...
I don't know if he swam a lot, though. I mean, if I had to do a backstory, I don't think he's doing a lot
of swimming. Maybe he doesn't have swimming lessons.
As a foundling, you know, at a certain point,
yeah,
as we saw with... Wesley, when he's getting his helmet,
mm-hmm.
You know, there's very little time between getting your helmet and then learning to swim, those kind of moments. So I think he can swim? Yes.
Right. But it wasn't, because people were, it had nothing to do with the creature. Creature didn't bring the creature was sleeping.
What creature? I didn't see
right.
a creature.
100%. Mm. Right, right. So,
okay. And,
which is amazing.
I thought he might have gotten dragged down.
No.
Okay.
Why would he get dragged down?
The thing was sleeping.
The Mythosaurus chose him.
That's
the chosen one.
Wait, so tell me about that. I love this now.
Yeah.
So what is the... Katie was like this too, by the way. So you and Katie must...
She has met Katie.
I haven't met...
I know, it's just great. I've known Katie for like 16 years. So... Those
two would geek out. Like, oh, yeah, Katie is also somebody else. I could be like, hey, so what's the canon on this one? And she'd be like, I'm going to be...
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know what's funny about that is, yeah, because, that just shows you the research of how Katie general was, because Katie, from being on Clone Wars, but please, have a Mythosaur conversation.
Mythosaur. Okay, I'll Mythosaur 101. So Mandalore, the planet was named after a Mandalorian named Mandalore, his last name. And he was the one who tamed the first Mythosaur. And so then it became like this whole thing where part of the lore, like the Darksaber, if you wield the Darksaber, you can control Mandalore. If you can like control a Mythosaur, you also are like the chosen one. So that's why I think Katie and like Bo-Katan and Din are playing off of this, like, who's going to... So someone's going to ride a Mythosaur.
So
that's what I'm saying.
We're going to have to make a meme out of that one. So many ways to go, but this is, yeah. So does the Mythosaur trump, can I use that word still?
Sure.
Yeah.
The Darksaber?
I think they're like a duo. Like whoever wields both of them is definitely has the trump card.
Okay, but I mean, if we do that, then it's
okay. But you're saying if Bo-Katan had the Mythosaur and Din had the dark saber, what would be the pick?
Ooh,
I don't know,
man.
I don't know.
I mean, this is my favorite to do when we have cast members on from the show where they know stuff but they can't say anything.
Know.
It's like the same thing where I think after this episode that just aired last night, which I thought was a very interesting episode. My opinion on it was that I think that it was two great shows in one episode. That's it's like
I agree. It's like, I think it might have been.
Yeah, it's like it was like the Mandalorian show that I watched last night was great, and the New Republic show I watched last night was great. So it was, I just thought, editing wise, I had my thing with it, but
I mean, that's kind of like what happened in Boba, right?
It did, but I think the only difference was this. The difference is that we were so established already with Din, and so when he showed up, you're like, hey, it's that guy, as opposed to, you know, the doctor, who's great. Both the actors, and Katie O'Brien, we just had in here as well too. She's fantastic, but we haven't spent a lot of time with them yet in order to get. That was like a pilot episode.
Yes. Yeah. But I mean, okay, just as fans, I'm so curious, because my take on it, season two, loved, but. It definitely felt like we had to introduce some things throughout the season so that the world could open up. And some of those things for me, I've talked to other people younger than me, I coach a high school soccer team. Mm-hmm. And yes, I asked you, and it was a trick question really, because I have a few girls on the team who are huge Star Wars fans and knew who I was. And the whole deal, knew my secret identity, the whole deal. I was like, what? And so.
And your Google pulled up.
No, it was so weird. I forget about Google a lot. But they knew, and they didn't, it didn't jar them in any way. For me, as the, you know, like having all the scripts, knowing the story progression, knowing everything, sometimes I worry, I just don't want it to feel like we're just trying to spin off shows.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
And so that's, you know, those are the moments I felt like last night was a lot more seamless in that way.
Yeah.
Because it's whatever it is.
I thought it was a well-made episode. I just liked that was my only thing, is that I said if they were two separate things, I was, because as you guys open up, and it's you, it's both Mando and Bo-Katan, and they open up where we left off. And I think the first three episodes in general, I almost think even one and two could have been combined into one big episode, because it just plays into all of it. But it was so good. And then this idea of, okay, well, there's still these, it's still like the whole episode is basically like, yeah, this is the formation of what's going to happen with First Order and all the stuff that's happening out there. But they're still out there, and what's his face? Gideon's still running around out there, or somebody's out there calling shots. Because look at all these TIE fighters running. And when Din's jumping out the thing, and is that's Latif, right?
Jumping out, jumping onto the TIE fighter
and coming back to the TIE fighter.
That was sick. Yeah.
And then sticking the bomb.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
So. Oh no, that's season one. But I'm talking about for last night's episode when he jumps in. Okay, yeah.
But can I say about in season one,
yes,
and he's, you know, Din's got to get TIE fighter. So they're like, hey, do you want to go over and do this? And so I look on the screen, because I'm on another unit, and I'm looking over and I'm watching this. I go, is he laying on the ground? Because he's got his arm on something and he's got to reach here. And they're like, no, he's hanging off the arm of this thing. He's about 20 feet in the air, but there's a pad. It's fine. You'll be fine. I'm like, I'm not, no. Like, right. You're insane. Have you seen Latif's arms? Like, Latif is shaped like that. He has a size 29 waist.
Well,
okay. His shoulders are 42.
Damn. Okay.
His arms.
I saw him at the premiere. He's jacked. Yeah.
And so, you know, I was like, no, I don't want to do it. But watching him hold on to this thing and like literally have to do it, because he wanted the struggle of it.
Yeah.
Snap this thing.
Yeah.
Fail. Try it again. Like, that's when I'm like, I'm not a stuntman. That is the beauty.
That's why he's here.
Oh, he's so good.
And he's so good. And like, so last night when he jumps, because we haven't really, you know, so when he jumps out of the thing, goes down and lands and just gets right back into the ship. It's like that whole scene was so fantastic of watching them together, because, so it seems to me, and obviously when you have an actress like Katie Sackhoff, and from what she did in Longmire, but in Battlestar and all these things, it makes sense to me that, minus whatever the drama is that went down with Gina Carano, but like the character of Cara Dune is just no longer there, and they had such like a kinship, the two of them, that it seems to me that Bo-Katan is now filling that role.
100%. I mean, I feel the same way. Peli, in some levels, you know, Amy does. We see the value of this, and the good thing for me, and I don't think it's as a replacement. I think they're very different archetypes, But there's the thing that we need. It's a, and it's going to sound really corny, but like, you know, for all you who fanboy Katie, it's going to sound gross. But she reminds me of my mother, mm-hmm. who was a 6-foot badass, you know, like, in this day, sorry, you can't prosecute her now. She, my brother Pete, who was, you know, tall guy, leaned in one time and was like, what, Bubba? And she hit him with the right hand and put him on his ass. That was the woman she was. Like, I was like, okay. Yeah. And that's who Bo is. And that's the strength of Katie. Like, she has her human qualities, obviously, like, both sides of it. But she is such a strong, powerful person who happens to be a woman. And it, for me, I'm a girl dad. Like, I have 3 daughters. To have those examples is so important. And to lose, you know, Gina and then gain Katie is such a boon for us. And then Katie's story as Bo and this, you know, it was always going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
To bang up against each other and, you know, to have this power struggle. And it is, on some level, it's man and woman. And on another level, it's about just tradition versus mm-hmm. whatever. And it's so fun to be a part of. And it's not, you know, it's not heavy handed. It's not like Joel Osteen.
Yeah.
They're letting you feel these things and have these questions without, you know, throwing those kind of gnarly things at you. Yeah. Like more yeah. views. But it's great. Like, and that's Star Wars. But Katie's, her professionalism is so awesome. Like she, like you, knows this incredible history. And I'm, they like to, you know, like say, oh, it's the cowboy. Because I just like to wing it a lot of the time and see how it works. And then if they need to give me some information, great. But that was a great thing about playing Mando and not Boba Fett. There was no history on him.
Yeah.
So right. everything we did, we said, oh, that works or that doesn't work. So how are we gonna make it, you know, how do we need to make it work? But for the most part, we were finding it together as a group, the three of us and then the powers that be, whether it was stunt coordinators, yeah. directors or producers. And you don't get that in Hollywood.
Yeah.
You don't. So, you know, but Katie's badass. She's so bad.
Yeah, she is. Steph, you wanted to ask about the, I know we were talking about Boba Fett, like the show and the Mandalorian, the butcher scene and stuff.
Oh, yeah, that was great. That's, like, one of my favorite sequences ever. Was that all in the volume, or was there? Did you yeah. have some yeah. actual meat by you?
Oh, no. Oh, we have. We had.
I love how excited he is talking about this scene. It's amazing.
Scene was
yeah.
so
that was,
sick.
It was the best. That was Bryce Dallas Howard, right?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. That's oh. real Star Wars yeah. fan, too.
Yeah.
She's You say real Star Wars fan. Let me tell you something about that young lady. She's a huge Trekkie.
Oh, really?
Go watch her. She did like an Architectural Digest.
You're doxing her.
Thing. No, it's fine.
You're doxing Bryce.
She did it. She did like a come in my home thing, and they have a mural of it. She's both, but she's also a Trekkie.
I like, wonder if she'll do any directing for some of the new Star Wars.
If it gets out there. Look, she is fantastic. She's someone who should either get a movie or more. I know she's doing Ahsoka, but she should do more.
Yeah.
She's earned it. I'm watching, growing with her in the show because, you know, her first episode, I think was her first directing she's done.
Oh, yeah.
On Mando in season one. And then her ability to empower me and support me from the beginning. It's amazing. Like she yeah. just is. She's just intuitive about it. Like she's like, oh, he needs. You know, he's a little softer than he looks.
Do you have a favorite director that you've worked with?
No, I can't. Why would I ever? No. How
was it Bryce?
No. Is there someone that inside of that director that I mean? Because Carl Weathers obviously is probably someone who you enjoyed working with as director. But is there somebody that like I guess like you just said with Bryce? Is there somebody that you like? Okay, I just work very well with this person when they're on. And like I mean, you say obviously you work well with all of them, but the particular person that you just. Okay, I know so-and-so is directing this episode.
Yeah. Dave.
Dave, yeah.
The reason being is that he's also a rookie.
Yeah,
with this.
Yeah.
I have pictures in the meat locker, uh-huh. and that's what I was looking for. Anyway, yeah, Dave was a rookie, and he's very blue-collar. So, you know, whether John wants to be or not, he's exalted. You know, he saved Marvel,
know, yeah, yeah.
I don't care what anyone says.
He started the whole MCU. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And then he's done a pretty bang-up job over here, too.
You know,
pulling it from the ashes of the Phoenix it has risen.
Yeah.
So it's hard for John to be taken on, you know, this kind of level, even though I know he was a dishwasher at Second City in Chicago, the whole deal, it doesn't matter. He's not there.
Right.
Dave, on the other hand, even though he's unbelievable guy who does cartoons. But he was so earnest in what he wanted to do. And his vision is so beautiful. Like, he can draw it for you. And he did. And he'd be like, no, this is what I'm thinking. And for me, the way I approach whatever I'm doing, it is all visual. And so when he draws his picture and he's like, that's what I was thinking. I'm like, can I keep that? He was great. And he's like, no, I want more of this Western. Second season, right before and during when they were shooting, I died a couple times, literally. I was in the hospital 40 days, had 4 different surgeries.
Whoa.
This whole thing. So I almost didn't make it ever again.
In season 2?
Yeah, season 2.
Wow.
And so I missed like the first 6 weeks of shooting. But when I came back, David pushed his episode so that I could do, because he had written The Jedi as this super Western, and he had brought in Johnny Ringo because he knew it would just light me up. And Michael Biehn suckered me in. He played Possum the whole time. Just, oh, God, you're so good. God. And then we went to do that draw scene, and Dave was waiting for it. And when he called the action, Dave was like, he wanted to do it early so that Michael would have the draw on me. I beat him still. But
yeah.
Dave's the best in that sense because he brought himself here, and I didn't know enough to look at him that way, and he never presented himself that way. So, like with Rick, Rick dunked on me in high school. So, yeah.
No way.
Really?
Right out here on the west side.
Really?
Yep.
That's amazing.
Did he remember that like right away?
He remembered it. Because I've been dunked on so many times.
Yeah, because, like, why would you remember who dunked on you?
I mean, I was like, wait, lean up against me. Let me see what. But, oh, my God.
That's hilarious.
Like, so, Rick, but I was so impressed with his art, too. Like, so many people. And then Deb, she was the first director I met in rehearsals. And her presence and everything made me go, okay, I'm in over my head. And Dave wasn't like that with me. He was very, and not that she was trying to be. She just. It was me walking into the room. Dave was like, let's see how it works and blah, blah, blah. And there was something very Deer Hunter about him being from Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
He was a third string goalie for the Long Beach Ice Dogs. Like, he's a crazy Penguins fan. And I'm a huge Kings fan. And so immediately we had something. And then he just takes me with him visually on his journey. So, like, I would go visit him on Ahsoka. Just to see what he had ready.
Oh, that's cool.
Like, he's so, like, that's who he is. And I call him if I have I'm just wondering about this or that. And he's great about it. So, Dave, for sure. Bryce, because, first of all, I love the way, you know, like, she brings the best out of you. And the opportunities she's able to create to succeed are amazing. And watching her grow up, I know we're similar. She's younger than me, but like watching her grow up as a director is pretty awesome. And it doesn't matter if it's me or the 10th person in the scene who walks by. Everybody's just as important, and that's something that means something.
I've heard that about her over and over and over again, how like Katie said it, like a lot of people have just said that about her. But, you know, I jump back on something you said about Ahsoka, because there was a Kathleen Kennedy in 2020 had made an announcement that of when all the shows were coming out, right? Yeah. When it was Ahsoka that was announced, when at the time it was the New Rangers, but it seems like Skeleton Crew almost kind of took the place of New Rangers.
As far as timing goes,
yeah.
The story's
The story sounds different, but as far as like, okay, because the reason I bring that up is because in that same announcement, she said, and it's going to lead to this big crossover major event And it seems like the Filoni Favreau universe, whether it's Mandalorian, Boba Fett has already done that, obviously. Yes. Ahsoka and Skeleton Crew all seem that to be like the Filoni Favreau universe.
Yeah.
So do you think, I mean, don't get yourself in trouble, but is this crossover event thing, is that still a thing, or is that?
I don't see how it doesn't. My only question is, does it go on the big screen, or does it stay in the, I mean, I love going to see movies. I saw a movie last night with my kids.
What'd you say? It's
fucking garbage.
Yeah, it's all right. Sorry,
Scream 6.
Oh, you didn't like it?
No.
Oh, man.
I want Neve Campbell in it.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. They should have paid her. Needed her.
Yeah.
But they were good. They were good. I just...
Not a fan.
I wanted what I wanted.
Yeah.
My kids liked it, though.
Yeah.
So they got who they wanted.
But you were saying?
I have no idea.
Yeah,
I don't know if we go... Like, I love the big screen.
Mm-hmm.
And so... And I know John does, and Dave does. You know, like, we grew up on it. But there, you get to tell a better story on streaming, on TV.
Overall, right. But unless it leads to, like, one big thing of a bunch of... That's, yes. I've been saying this, dude, forever, that, you know, it's blue in the face.
Yes.
Mandalorian, I feel, because John just said recently that Mandalorian is... there's no end in sight at the moment. But I think when there is, let's say it's season 8.
Yeah.
So season 8, hey, listen, in December 16th is the penultimate episode ever of Boba Fett. And then the following week, the series finale in theaters, and then it'll be on Disney Plus in a month.
That's it. Okay, so you and John have bigger brains than I do, because I never would have seen that. But that's the way to go, because by then we will have it so integrated that it won't be, well, I watched this or I watched that. Like when I was growing up, especially in my house, because my mom's father's John Wayne. So there were big screen actors and small screen actors.
Explains now why she punched your brother in the face.
Oh, yeah.
For sure. She's badass. Yeah, of course. John Wayne's daughter. You might as
well. She's 6 feet tall. Like,
yeah.
Anyway, so, but like, we had, you know, big screen. I remember when Clooney was making the jump, it was still a big deal. Like, oh, he went from TV to big screen.
Yeah.
I remember having this conversation with my mom because she's so, you know, like, versed in it all. And I was amazed. She was like, you know, usually you go the other way. You do the big screen and then you finish on the little screen, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I was so, like, seeing that it's obliterated now is amazing, because it was definitely such a big part of my life growing up. You know, oh, this guy, you know, John Schneider, he does Dukes of Hazzard. This guy does, you know, movies. Burt Reynolds does movies. And you go, oh, okay, cool. But now it doesn't matter.
So nah, that was streaming, yeah. Well, it's interesting. So I hope that it happens. And my prediction, and I don't want to put the camera on you. My prediction is that we're going to, Din's going to show up in Ahsoka, and then probably in something in Skeleton Crew, I would assume, because you're going to have this whole kind of crossover event in general. I think it's a ruse. I think that I do believe that you went to Filoni to get advice, but I also think you were shooting shit there, if I was to guess.
And I think Thrawn might be on next episode
of Mandalorian.
Yeah, only because I think that could have been Thrawn's people coming, because Filoni is directing next episode.
Interesting.
Do you think that they would give you... I am curious about this, because that's a big one, Thrawn.
Yeah.
Do you think they're going to give you that?
In Mandalorian?
That early?
I don't know if maybe you'll hear his voice, or you're just affirmed that he's there, but I think that was his guys coming in.
But what about his idea that Moff's out there doing stuff?
I think he's out there, too.
We did arrest him.
Yeah, but he's... Well, you know, John Collar's also... They've talked about him being in this season. Yeah, so he's... John Collar's going to be there.
He's going to be like Hannibal Lecter.
I think so.
In jail. With
but he's working for somebody. But he's working for somebody. So the question is who. But I think Thrawn... I don't think we see Thrawn until Ahsoka, is my guess. But I could geek out with you for this for a while. I just wanted... But to
answer your question, yes. To circle back to a question you actually asked.
What?
Which is, yes. Huge pieces of meat. And we actually had meat.
Actually,
and then other ones were props, but we had meat in there, and we were in the volume, And there's all these dog face guys in there. Frank Trigg being one of them, who's a Hall of Fame. UFC, who's now like, my kids call him Uncle Frank.
You know what's hilarious?
To him every day.
Do you know who's like one of my really close friends now? Is Matt Serra.
Oh! How random is that,
right? Super random, yeah.
And I'm like, you know, like, that was another fanboy moment.
Yeah.
I'm like, hey, yeah. And of course, I'm like, I met you at the Lobster. And he was like, huh? I go, I was your bartender at the Lobster, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, do you have a tall bartender with you? I'm like, yeah, I look like Superman.
Yeah.
He was like, yeah, yeah. He was, that guy was really geeking out. I'm like, that's my buddy Dave.
It's hilarious.
So, but yeah.
Oh, yeah. I know Dave. Awesome. Yes. Yeah.
You're Superman.
Anyway, yeah, Superman. So, he used to do comedy for a long time.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, like, that's the other thing. I don't think that's talked about enough. Like, I wasn't A-list actor. I'm still not. So these people walk in. You're like, hey, you're working. I did not know it was Horatio the whole time I was.
Oh, wow, really?
Because he was in that blue
film. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He had this thing on. And they're like, be funny to him. I'm like, yeah, be funny, blue guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. And I'm in, like, you know, Mando mode. Like, I'm going to, you know, drag your ass around. But, and then I see Brian driving the land speeder. I don't know if you, what's his last? The comedian.
Oh, yeah, Prozen.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, my brother... One of my older brothers used to be the GM of Santa Monica Improv before Bud lit it on fire. I mean, it lit on fire. And so, oh, look, a fire sale. Back with Tony Rose. And I used to watch him. I used to watch him, Sandler, all those guys do stand up. It was unreal. But so I'm geeked out about, and I have no idea. Next to me is one of the funniest dudes ever. And we're sitting in this thing, and he's like, be funny. And John does that. And I think he does it to torture, like, he does it to Burr.
Yeah.
He does it to Amy Sedaris. Like, I think he does it just to torture him, especially with Amy and Burr, because they weren't, like, I don't know, like, canon Star Wars fans.
Yeah.
Yet he'll be like, ad lib. And Amy's like, how do I ad lib? I don't speak this language.
Right.
And she's so funny. And then Burr's like, first of all, you want me to? It's not making the cut. But he's incredible.
He's really incredible. He's great. Yeah, I saw when we were at the premiere event,
yeah.
I was looking over and I was, because to me, like, Burr is like this generation's Carlin.
Oh, yeah.
Like, and so when I was sitting there and he was there with his wife and I, because my buddy Mark Ellis knows him and is friends with him. And he's like, you should have went up to him and said something. I was like, nah, I don't bother him. Like, cause to me, like, cause we caught it. He started coming around the LA scene after I was kind of out of it. Right. Yeah. So, but he was there and I look over and I told you this, and then Rosario Dawson shows up, and then there's Deborah Chow, and then Ming-Na comes in, and then Sasha Banks, Mercedes comes in, and she's there, and I was just like, it was just like such a cool kind of geek out moment to be in that universe. I'm sure like you had the same moment, but I know you got to get going though in a second. So
where are you going?
More fake Star Wars conversations. Just gotta get my money off these fanboys.
You're gonna have that story now that Din said, what do you know?
You want to talk about it?
You want to talk about it. But you got to definitely come back.
I come back anytime. Just over the hill.
So. You got to definitely come back, because we could talk about this. We didn't even get to a lot of the stuff, the Boba Fett stuff.
We should do a watch party.
100%.
Yes.
For maybe even.
We'll do a subscribe watch party. I'll come.
Yeah.
I'll get Latif to come.
Yeah.
I'll get Emily the armor.
That would be great.
Let's do it. Let's do it. We'll set this whole thing up. We'll do like a full event of it. That'd be amazing.
Sounds amazing.
I would love that. So thank you for everything you do on the show, man. It's fantastic. It's really great to see what you guys are doing. I always talk about how it's funny you're saying about season two. Season two is actually just a little bit above season one, but I love one as well. Mandalorian to me, it's original trilogy and then Mandalorian. Andor is circulating because Andor was brilliant.
I agree.
Brilliant.
Like, people were like, or maybe they weren't. I thought I read some things, but I loved it.
It was split. Yeah, there was a lot. I mean, I think that there's not a lot of arguing that it's some of the best written stuff ever. But
No offense, John.
Please come back. We'd love to have you back, and thank you again. Brandon Wayne.
This to you too.
Yes, please.
Just so you know, and I think this goes across the board for most of my castmates and everybody we work with, grips down to the PAs, you know, muffins, all those guys. I thank you for this opportunity. I thank John, obviously, but without fans, I don't have a job. And I don't mean that in like a little cute way. I mean that fucking 100%. I care less about anything else except for that you guys enjoy the show. And that's the way, I don't think there's anybody on this cast who doesn't feel that way, because to be able to walk out on the stage at Celebration, I never would imagine.
Yeah, you going to London?
The greatness that you feel, maybe. I never, that feeling is just overwhelming. But the joy that I got from you, not because I was happy you guys, whatever. I literally could care less. I want to work as a business model, but as a person, I care less about the adulation. I love that you love it. That's something that's crazy. Like,
yeah.
I mean, so without you, without the fans, I don't have a job. I don't get to do what I do every day or, you know, for 8 months out of every year. Play like I did when I was a kid, and the freedom and joy of that is unparalleled. So thank you. But, yeah, I just want to say that before you said thank you to me.
Well, for real, we appreciate that very much so. And the show's been awesome. Can't wait to see where it goes. Din's got his helmet back on, man, and he's Mandalorian once again. So we'll see where it's going to take us. One thing, you got to give a note to Lucasfilm. And I'm glad last night was 50, but these 33-minute episodes – For the pits.
I feel like the other one was 28. Like the first one was
the
like
pits.
28.
Dude, too short.
I'm like, what are you doing?
It's the pits. It's got to be longer.
Yes, but I agree with you.
All right, guys. Thanks once again, Brendan Wayne. Make sure you follow him on the social. And we are very, very grateful that he was able to come in and have his time here. And we'll have him back. And look, we'll get Latif and we'll get the armor. We'll get everybody in here. It's gonna be a blast. So thank you guys once again. Appreciate it. It's the Big Thing Sith Council, and we'll see you on the flip side. Peace.
I can feel your anger. It gives you focus, makes you stronger.
With everything you have on your plate, earning your degree online seems impossible. But at Grand Canyon University, we specialize in helping you fit a master's degree in education into your busy day. Your graduation team, led by your own GCU counselor, provides you with the personal support you need to succeed. Achieve your goals with a plan and team behind you. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Visit gcu.edu.
For the ones who get it done, the most important part is the one you need now, and the best partner is the one who can deliver. That's why millions of maintenance and repair pros trust Grainger, because we have professional-grade supplies for every industry, even hard-to-find products, and we have same-day pickup and next-day delivery on most orders. But most importantly, we have an unwavering commitment to help keep you up and running. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.